Back tonight in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're looking this evening at verses 8 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. The writer of Hebrews quoted the Old Testament text, "The just shall live by faith," in verse 38 of chapter 10. The just shall live by faith. Now, this text is found in the book of Habakkuk, but it is also quoted by the Apostle Paul in the letters of Romans and Galatians. In Romans, it follows after he wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. For the just shall live by faith." And in Galatians, it follows the truth that no one, no person can be justified by his attempt to keep the law. "For no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for the just shall live by faith." Here in Hebrews, the verse is followed by a definition of faith, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then by examples of Old Testament saints who by faith, we are told, received a good report in verse 2. "For by it the elders," that is Old Testament believers, "obtained a good report." And then he begins to name or to list through this chapter in chronological order several of these Old Testament elders who received a good report by faith. Each one that he names, each one that he mentions, they all, by believing in the promised seed of the woman, by their faith in Christ who was promised to come, they all received or obtained a good report. Now, we are looking at the list and truths which are associated with faith. We have seen with Abel, by faith Abel. What is associated with the faith of Abel? It is righteousness. By faith Abel obtained or offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Righteous, being justified, declared righteous before God. By faith, the scripture says, we are justified by faith. And then, of course, follows Enoch. And what is associated with his faith, he pleased God. And we saw that was synonymous with walking with God. He walked with God. He pleased God. How did he do that? By faith. And then Noah follows Enoch. And we see what is associated with the faith of Noah, and it was fear, godly fear. And all of these truths, and we're going to see three tonight associated with the faith of Abraham and Sarah, but all of these truths, a person who has faith will manifest in his life. That is righteousness, fear of God, that godly fear of God, and will walk with God. Abraham comes next, And Paul called him the father of all believers. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, the apostle said, therefore it is a faith. And I looked this verse up today to see what John Gill had to say about it. Therefore it is a faith. What does that stand for, it? Well, in the context there, I know he's speaking about justification. Justification is by faith. That, in order that, now listen, it is by faith in order that it might be by grace. Any other way of being saved other than by faith, by believing in Christ, would not be by grace. It would be by some work, some merit on the part of an individual. But faith is a grace that receives. It's just the empty hand that receives. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure. The promise might be sure to all, A-L-L, all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, in other words, Jews who were given the law of Moses. The promise is sure to all the seed, not just to the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, that is, of both Jews and Gentiles. The promise of a seed that would be as innumerable as the stars in the heavens and as the sand by the seashore. The promise is sure to all the spiritual seed of Abraham. Tonight, I'd like for us to think of three things associated here with the faith in the case of Abraham and Sarah. First, obedience. If you notice in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. That's what we should associate and see when we think about Abraham's faith, his obedience. As far as Abraham is concerned, his experience all started with God. If you're saved here tonight, your experience also started with God. It didn't start with you. We love him because he first loved us. Men seek him because he first sought us. As to Abraham's experience, it all began with God. I want you to turn back to Joshua with me just a moment. Joshua chapter 24. This is almost at the end of the book of Joshua. It's near the end of the life of Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the land of promise. But in Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, we read, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. In other words, they were in the land of promise. Remember, they had crossed over the Jordan. That's what he means by the other side of the flood. All of their fathers had lived on the other side of Jordan, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And now notice, and they served other gods. Now, they would have continued there, serving other gods, had not God done something for them. Abraham, the father of all believers, what we see of him is true of us all who come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our salvation, our coming to know God, began with him, with God. Notice the next verse. They served other gods, and I took your father Abraham. If God had not come to Abraham, he would have continued there in that land serving other gods. There was nothing different about Abraham. He didn't have a gene. You remember a few years ago when they started really researching into genes and things like that, they said some people just have a gene to be religious. No, men have a gene to be wicked. That's what we have. Abraham wasn't any different from his father or from anyone else there in that land. He didn't have a special gene that made him religious. They served other gods, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. God took him. What I'm saying is that when we think about Abraham, as far as his experience is concerned, and as far as your experience is concerned, if you're one of his children, it all begins with God. The same way that he takes his sheep today, he took Abraham. He called him. He called him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." How does God call his sheep? By his word. By his written word. Now, he spoke to Abraham. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 12, he called Abraham. He took Abraham by his calling him by his word. You say, well, the Bible wasn't written then. No, it surely wasn't. But the words which were given to Abraham are recorded in the Bible. They became part of the Bible, the scripture. And so what I'm saying is that God calls his sheep with the word, by the preaching of the word. He doesn't call his sheep by dreams. That doesn't mean that he hasn't used dreams, but he doesn't call his sheep by dreams. Jacob, we know, God appeared to him in a dream where he saw that ladder that was set up upon the earth reaching into heaven, a picture of Christ. But that's part of the Word of God. That's part of the Word of God. God calls his people with the Word, not by dreams, not by some sign up in the clouds. You ever heard anyone say that? They were out laying on the ground looking up into the sky, and they saw this sign up in the clouds, and that's the way the Lord called them. No, no, no. That's not the way God calls his people. He calls his people just like he did Abraham, using the word of God. Here in Genesis 12, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, he spoke to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." The word has two parts, the word by which Abraham was called. First, there's a command, "Get thee out of thy country." And then there is the promise, "I will make of thee." The Lord called Abraham by his word, that which would later become scripture. And this is most important, because we know that the foundation of saving faith is the word of God. The foundation of saving faith is the word of God. If your faith is based upon something else, some experience, some feeling, anything like that, you do not have a good foundation. The faith of God's people is built upon the word, the written word of God. You know, You've heard this many times before. It's still true. Luther, he's the one who said faith or feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. And that's certainly true. Look with me in Luke chapter 5. I think we have one of the greatest examples of this truth here in Luke chapter 5 with the Apostle Peter, the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Peter. Faith is based on the Word of God. God called Abraham. God called him through His Word. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 6, our Lord had been preaching from Simon's boat. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now notice this, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Everything that Peter knew told him, this is useless. This is useless. What he's told me to do, letting down the net, this is useless. We've worked all night. I've worked on this sea of Galilee. I've fished this sea for many years. I know we are not going to catch any fish. Nevertheless, at thy word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's word. And thou shalt be saved. Think of all the examples in the Gospels where the people who could not do what the Lord commanded them to do, and yet they did it. The man with the withered hand, he couldn't stretch out his hand, could he? He would have already done that. But when the Lord spoke, stretch forth thy hand, along with that command, that word came the power. And he did stretch forth his hand. That woman who had been bowed down for 18 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 18 years bowed over. And yet when the Lord spoke to her, she was able to straighten up. Nevertheless, at thy word. If you turn back here to Hebrews 11 now with me, verse 8. So the thing we see, first of all, about the faith of Abraham, that which is associated with his faith, is obedience. Obedience. One writer pointed these four things out about faith here in verse 8. The scripture here says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Number one, faith hears God's call. Faith hears God's call. Number two, faith obeys God's command. Number three, faith trusts God's providence. And number four, faith inherits the promise. Keep your places here, but let me read a few verses here in Romans chapter 8. Very familiar verses to all of us here tonight, but Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. God called Abraham. Them he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We see here in this verse, in this passage rather, that those that God has predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son and has justified by faith are called according to his purpose. It all began for Abraham when God called him. God took him. And God called him with the word. And that's the way God speaks to us and calls his people today, with the word. And as far as our experience is concerned, I know before there ever was a star in the sky, as far as God's purpose is concerned, it was purposed in eternity. I know that. But as far as our experience is concerned, experience in salvation, it begins with us when God calls us, when he calls us. And God calls his people. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They hear his voice, and we hear his voice in the word of God. It's amazing to me. It's still amazing to me that as a man stands and preaches the word of God, God's sheep hear his voice. They hear the voice of the man. There's no doubt about that. But in hearing his voice, the man's voice, the preacher's voice, they hear his voice. And they follow him. It begins with God. God calling. God justifying. And we see here in the case of Abraham that faith trusts God's providence. Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. His faith, obedience, is manifested in these ways. Don't you think that Abraham maybe thought, where am I going? Now, there was a certain amount of safety for Abraham and his family to live there where they were living. And, you know, just to go out, just a family to go out not knowing where you're going. Where am I going? What will happen to me in a strange land? What's going to take place? How are my needs going to be met? How will I be taken care of? And we know in the Word of God, God's answer is always the same. Trust me. Trust me. How are my needs going to be met? Trust me. We're given that in Romans 8 and verse 28, which we just read. But Paul didn't stop there when he said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." He didn't just stop there. Yes, we know that all things work together for good. But he goes on to say and to remind us, if God spared not his son, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? He will. So that's the first thing we see associated with Abraham's faith, and that is obedience. Secondly, patience. Patience. Notice that. By faith, he sojourned. Patience. Patience of Abraham's faith was mentioned before in chapter 6 of Hebrews, if you want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 6. This is what we see associated with his faith, obedience, and patience. In Hebrews 6 and verse 13, we read, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he received the promise." God promised Abraham a son. He promised him a son in whom or through whom his seed would come, in which all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now, the promise wasn't fulfilled immediately. You know how old Abraham was when God called him? He was 75 years old. Do you know how old he was when the promise was fulfilled? He was 100 years old. The promise wasn't fulfilled immediately. But the Lord Jesus said this about Abraham. He said, "He rejoiced to see my day," and he saw it. He rejoiced to see my day, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And he saw it. How did he see it? He saw it by faith. By faith. Now, in this place, the patience of his faith is seen in his waiting, back in chapter 11, his waiting for the earthly inheritance, the land of promise. God promised him, I will give you the land, all the land of Canaan. But notice he, Abraham, along with his son Isaac and his son Jacob, they lived in the land. Yes, they lived in tents in the land. The promise wasn't fulfilled until several centuries later, when his posterity was brought into the land, the promise was fulfilled. They were pilgrims, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land was theirs. It was promised to them. But they patiently endured. This relates to us because we too are pilgrims and strangers while we are in this world. But our citizenship is in heaven. In this, Abraham pictures our hope of heaven, but we see that he shared in this hope. He shared in this hope because the writer tells us here, he looked for a city. Notice that in the text. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. That is, they were promised that land. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, yes, he was promised that land, the land of Canaan, and that promise was fulfilled. It was 400 years later when God brought Israel out of Egypt into the land of promise. But he was looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city is that? That's heaven. That's a heavenly city. So the second thing that we associate with Abraham's faith is patience, sojourning, waiting, patiently enduring. And the third thing is strength. Notice in verse 11, they received strength. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now, most of the writers believe that this is not really speaking of Sarah. It's speaking of the faith of Abraham. But John Gill, he said, why may not Sarah be joined with Abraham in the commendation of faith as well as Isaac and Jacob? One writer translated this verse, by faith he also, together with Sarah, received power to beget a child. Another commented, either way, the significant thing is that strength was received. We associate strength also with the faith of Abraham. This is important. That the strength associated with faith is the strength of Christ. The strength of Christ is imparted to believers by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Why is it that God's people persevere? Is it because they just have a greater willpower or anything like that? Of course not. It's not human willpower. The strength is Christ living in us, the hope of glory. The Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this caused, when Paul heard this, it caused him to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God gave strength to Abraham and Sarah, enabling them to do what was impossible. For a man 100 years old and his wife 90 years old to have a child is an impossibility. But they did. They did. Why? Because God gave them strength. And for you to continue, for me to continue, as we go through this life, the strength that we need, it's not possible that we have the strength in ourselves, but the strength that we have is God the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He is our strength. Well, I pray that we would keep this in mind. The Lord would bless these words to us tonight. Associated with Abram's faith is, of course, obedience and patience and strength. May God give us faith like the faith of these men that received a good report through faith. We're going to sing a verse or two of a hymn before we're dismissed.